Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today brings back a flood of memories, and I'll explain briefly why. It was probably 1994 or 95. My mentoring pastor, Jeff, at the time, was going through a course in preaching, which struck me as odd because he was an exceptional preacher, probably the best I had ever seen in organizing a sermon. And prior to that, he needed someone out of the congregation where they wanted to do a commentary sermon back and forth. And I was chosen. So we sat down and we did that, and only to find out that a few weeks later, part of this course he was taking required to lift someone out of the congregation and preach. Again, I'll let you guess who that was. And it was this text. The very first text that I preached on by myself. Long time ago already, when you started adding up the years. But as I said, it brings back a flood of memories. And not being one to write sermons down and shuffle them into a file cabinet, the temptation is to revisit some of those old things, but then I also realize that without it being written down, it can't be exactly like people heard back then. It will always be different. So I wanted you to have that background as we begin today, because you may hear some things that you've heard in the past. But hopefully, with the Holy Spirit in charge, you will also hear something different as well. Now, getting back to Jeff, in preparation for this sermon, we would get together and we would banter back and forth about a whole variety of things when it had to do with Scripture. And they were fun conversations. But I remember one day it got a little bit hard. Now, I'm not looking for someone to raise their hand, but if you can think back to the point where something was said to you that changed how you fundamentally thought about your faith or explained it, that's what happened to me that day. Because in the heat of this conversation, Pastor Jeff looked at me and said, "Bill, do you owe God anything?" I said, "Well, of course I do. I mean, that's how we were all raised. God does this, we do this." Right? And he said, "Bill," he said, "you don't owe God anything. What God did for you in Christ, he chose to do. And he didn't do it because you earned it or deserved it. He did it because he chose to do it." And he said, "I suggest that you read your Lutheran confessions." Which, by the way, I didn't. I just took his word for it, at least at that time. But that was a day that changed my life. Because up until that point, I was a box checker. And I think if we think real hard, I think maybe we've all experienced that in our lives where we've got a box that we check. Well, God says do this, I'll do this, and then God will do this. And I check this box and God will do that. Well, that's exactly how it was supposed to work for the Israelites in the Old Testament. Box checking. But the one thing that we find out, and that is that even though we check the boxes, like the Israelites, we run into problems. And we still run into those problems today. So after years of thinking about it, I realized that box checking didn't do it. That the grace that I have come to know, and that we have come to know, is God and God's alone, and he chooses where and when. Now, I say this because just through that experience, I can relate to Nicodemus. Okay, here is a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, a leader of the Jewish people, and he's got questions. He's been checking the box all his life. Their education begins at 12 years of age, and it is intense to be able to reach the height that Nicodemus did. And he had questions. He needed answers. He understood that all the rituals, all the sacrifices, and all the things that they did simply was empty, that there was something missing. And he thought that maybe Jesus had the answer. Now, he wasn't willing to stick his neck out in broad daylight. As the scripture said, he went by night. And night is something where you can conceal your face, where there is shadows, there's not enough light. If one person says, I saw you meeting with Jesus last night, you could publicly deny it because it was dark. It wasn't as risky as meeting in broad daylight where two or three could say, no, we saw you with him. He wasn't quite ready for that yet. He wasn't really sure who Jesus was. He wasn't sure what the answer was to his questions. So he comes to Jesus by night, looking for that next step, looking for the answers. And Jesus confronts the situation almost instantly that says, this is what it takes, and it's not any of your doing. The wind blows, and we know not where it comes, and we know not where it goes, but we know it touches our lives. And such is the Spirit of God. What Nicodemus didn't realize was the answer to his questions wasn't an answer. It was the man that stood in front of him. The man and God that we know as our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it was in and through him that God fulfilled his promise. That God brought grace to a broken world in and through his Son. He brought forgiveness. He brought hope. In today's text, Jesus quotes something out of Numbers chapter 21. This was a situation where the Israelites were plagued by snakes. Snakes that would take their lives. They equated it to the fact that they were angry with God. They didn't like their food. They didn't know why they left Egypt in the first place. They were angry, they were ornery, and they were mad at Moses and mad at God. But finally they realized they needed to do something about the snakes. And they repented and they asked Moses to pray for them. And Moses prayed for them and said, make a serpent, hold it up, that the people who look up at the serpent may be healed. And they were. But this was something that only took away for a little while the effects of sin. It saved their human life, but it did nothing for eternal life. Jesus speaks of himself being lifted up, and it is in him that these things we receive. But then we ask ourselves about the Spirit, because in verse 16 and 17 today, if you read verse 16 all by itself, it lends people to believe that we still have to do something to take that step. I had Karen help me with pronouncing these words today because they're words I have to memorize for the class I'm taking. Synergy, okay? A cooperative work. The false belief that we take part in our salvation. Versus the word monitoring, which is the act of one, the saving work of God alone. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him. This is God's action. This is what Jesus is driving at today. Now, the heart of the sermon today is this. Was Nicodemus chosen? Did the Spirit touch Nicodemus? Did God choose Nicodemus? And the answer is yes. We only need to look to the end of the story to know that he did. Because Nicodemus was at the crucifixion in broad daylight, boldly, not worried about anybody seeing him there. Nicodemus was at the grave and helped Joseph of Arimathea bury Jesus. Do you bury someone that you do not love? Do you care for someone's body that way that does not dig deep down inside of you and touch you? God chose Nicodemus. He chose Nicodemus unto faith, the faith through which he was saved. And God is choosing each and every one of you with that same faith. That same faith is planted in each and every one of us. Martin Luther, in his meaning to the, in the meaning to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit calls me through the gospel. The Holy Spirit touches. The Holy Spirit chooses. And the Holy Spirit is choosing you. This is something that God does out of a great, great divine love through his Son. And it's there for us in support of life that we live here, and also that we're compelled to help and live well with one another. Because here's one thing for certain. By lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, God didn't take the snakes away. There are still days full of snakes. Call them what you will. But there are still tests. There are still trials. But unlike being healed for the day, our Lord and Savior heals us for eternity. And he is with us through each and every day that we live, no matter what that day brings, that we never walk through that day alone. And God did this out of love for you through his Son. You don't need to work for it, folks. It's yours. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.